All right, let's radio. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Happy end of the week almost day. I love Thursdays. Bill Ryder with you. You know what else I can lean into from time to time? A good conspiracy theory. Can't get with the crazies. Not going to put tinfoil on my head. That's for my hamburgers when they go in the freezer. But you want to throw a little alien talk to me? Cool. Okay. Hell, you want to give me a little Bigfoots out there in Northwest America? Maybe. You're telling me the NFL is putting its grubby fingers on the scales for the Kansas City Chiefs? I'll listen, but when Dan Campbell says it, maybe I will put a little tinfoil on my head. We'll get into that in about 20 minutes. It's really interesting. Our friends, our colleagues, our sister station in Detroit, pulled from the knee-biting head coach of that NFL football team the admission that there might have been some funny business going on. All right, we'll talk about that. Tua Tagovailoa did a non-apology apology. I will credit the executive producer, Ryan Hickey, for first identifying it was a fake apology. I kind of heard it quickly. That's fine. It's an apology. Listened a couple times this morning. Tua wasn't Trua with his feelings when he said the words, "I'm sorry." We'll talk about that. I cracked the code on Sports Talk Radio yesterday. I did something, what is a hero, Mr. Lebowski? Historically great. Ryan asked me if I thought either the Blue Jays or the Brewers, they have game three tonight, Milwaukee, could come back down 2-0 in their AL and NLCS series, having lost the first two games at home. And I, again, going back to historic greatness, said if one of them win game three, maybe. I mean, talk about going on a limb. That genius was met by a similar level of baseball genius. Blue Jays won to make it a series. So we'll hit that. Would you rather coming up? I'm really excited, hoping he'll be a regular Herm Edwards. I like Herm Edwards for a lot of reasons. Long time, obviously, NFL coach, also head coach at the collegiate level, great analyst at ESPN, great guy, funny, candid. I also just want to get to the point, he's on an hour, we're not there yet, where he's on often enough, where he's comfortable enough, where we transmute being a radio guest and being a buddy, that I can tell him that I once, as a Kansas City Star reporter many years ago, was assigned to basically stalk him when he got fired by the Chiefs. That's not today, but we're going to build to it, to that, you know, magical, awkward moment. Herm will be on. We'll do some buy or sell. The phone number is 888-710 for ISN. Chris Lopresti is going to give us some updates. We got a lot of great stuff going on. Sports Writer Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. All right. I was talking with Joe Theismann on the show. He has crossed that line from being just a guy to a friend because of our time on the radio. And he said something, which I'll play in a little bit. Thunderbolt made me just realize that two of the most perplexing, dominant, important, lately underwhelming sports figures on earth, and two guys who are going to shape sports stories, the sports stories of the day tonight and then next Tuesday, are actually the same person or the same archetype. Aaron, it's a big fancy. I don't even know what archetype means. I just throw it in there sometimes and hope it works. Aaron Rodgers and LeBron James, in many ways, are the same. They are both GOATs without being the GOAT for most of you, and probably for me. But you can love or hate those guys. They are both remarkably talented athletes. And I understand LeBron's got more rings, and LeBron's either past Jordan or closer to Jordan than Aaron Rodgers is with wherever he ranks compared to Tom Brady and now Patrick Mahomes. But these are both remarkable talents. They are lately, and the thing about greatness, one of the problems with greatness, whether you're doing it for 20 years and you have a Thursday night football game against the Bengals with a 4-1 Steelers team, which should be celebrated but isn't, whether you're going to debut next week in your, God, I don't even know, 21st, 22nd, 23rd season with the Lakers. Now, LeBron's injured, but the Lakers are back next Tuesday, so his absence is going to be a story. You're not going to be judged by being the all-time leading scorer in the history of the NBA, by having a Super Bowl ring with the Green Bay Packers and a multi-time MVP. You're not even going to be judged by being the second best, maybe in LeBron's case, and the, I don't know, fourth, fifth best, maybe in Aaron Rodgers' case, player in the history of your sport while you're still competing. You're not going to be judged by any of that. You're going to be judged by, what did you do yesterday? Are the Steelers really that good? Are the Lakers even going to make the playoffs? You're going to be judged by your greatest hits. You're going to be judged by the last 2 or 3 or 4 years at that level of greatness. The resume enhances the expectations, doesn't protect you from them. And so over the last few years, have I given enough respect to these guys? These two dudes were the same, are on the same path, are two of the great underachievers in their sports. They just are. They just are. Aaron Rodgers hasn't made a Super Bowl in living memory. I think the last time he did it, Patrick Mahomes was trying to decide if he should play baseball or play hockey. Hockey I just made up. But he did play baseball when he was young. Both these guys are loathed by many of you, maybe me, at times, because of their arrogance. But let's be honest. They also engender strong political reactions. Opposite ends of the spectrum in that respect. But they both are magnets for people who hate them for reasons that maybe have to do with non-politics, but in some cases have to do with politics. I mean, LeBron campaigned for Democratic candidates. A lot of you don't like him for that. That's fine. That's America. That's cool. Aaron Rodgers was very anti-vaccine, anti-mask. A lot of you don't like him for that. That's fine. That's cool. That's your opinion. That's America. Cool. Good. But they're lightning rods for reasons they deserve and maybe for reasons that have nothing to do with sports. I mean, they're remarkably arrogant dudes. I know both of them. I know that's not true. I know LeBron. I've been around Rodgers. Ironically, I've been to a party with Rodgers. I've never been to a party with LeBron. Maybe not ironically. Since LeBron knows me, he made sure I couldn't get into the parties. And they're incredibly charming guys. And they're doing the thing that I probably, and you probably, don't give them enough credit for. Because their unlikability, and their arrogance, and the fact that they're control freaks, and the fact that they're their own worst enemies, and so often, despite all the benefits they used to bring, are their team's sometimes worst enemies and biggest allies. I'm not sure that we celebrate enough the remarkable way in which they are pushing back against Father Time. They are redefining at least what's possible in terms of age. And maybe one of the reasons they don't get the credit for that, too, is this obnoxious all-time winner named Tom Brady did the same thing in his 40s, won a Super Bowl, was great, kind of made it go blasé, like, what's the big deal? It is a big deal. LeBron's 40, turns 41 in December. Rodgers is 41, turns 42 in December. They even share a birthday month. How good is this? They're the same person topic, huh? Crushed it. And the fact is, they've hit this really interesting point. And we're going to see it with Rodgers tonight on the field and the rest of the way through. And I get it. Steelers are 4-1. They're overachieving. He joined a Mike Tomlin team. Things are going great. And LeBron's on a Lakers team that's basically replaced him with Luka Doncic, and he'll probably be somewhere else next year. And so there are different stages of the same journey. And that journey is the point where you are so talented, where your GOAT-level greatness for so many years is so historically remarkable, and these guys are remarkable talents, that whatever problems, issues, the consequences of your arrogance, your control freak nature, your obnoxiousness, your throwing under the busisms, all of these things that are easy for me not to pick on were more than worth it. More than worth it when you're racking up MVPs and making your team at a minimum a championship-level contender. And in each of these guys' cases, carry their teams to at least Rodgers 1, LeBron many, many, many. But that point now, that talent, which is still there, LeBron can ball, Aaron Rodgers can clearly play quarterback at a pretty high level, has hit that immovable reality, or maybe it's movable, but that reality that maybe it's not worth it. The certainty that it's worth Aaron Rodgers and all the pain and angst, it was over the minute the Packers correctly, we didn't know it was correct at the time, said, get the hell out of here. Nicer than that, but not really. There's a reason that Aaron Glenn, who's obviously not very good as the head coach of the Jets, flew Aaron Rodgers across America and said, beat it, bro, because he just missed the bus by 2 years, but he didn't like the guy and he thought he's not worth it. There's a reason the Lakers traded away LeBron's buddy, Anthony Davis, and went to get his replacement, Luka Doncic, shortly after drafting his kid, who can't hoop at the level he needs to. Because LeBron and Aaron Rodgers have hit that point of uncertainty where it's hard to know. You get on the scales, it's hard to measure. Is the greatness, whatever's left, worth the difficulties? It's hard to tell. And Joe Theismann crushed this, and he didn't bring up LeBron. I just thought of LeBron. In that, one of the things about successful people, I've seen this in media, I've seen this in a lot of places, is that when you, I'll say his name. I worked with Mike North back in the day, with famous Chicago, I don't care, radio host. Not a bad guy. But Mike was a legendary sports figure in Chicago. I don't know the reasons he didn't keep his job in Chicago, but he ended up at a place I was working, different radio network. And he wasn't the face of the thing anymore. And he wasn't the ratings monster anymore. And maybe because he was national, not on Chicago, and he kept throwing his weight around in a way that he had been trained to do. When you are great, when you are famous, when you're a huge success story, sometimes you miss the passing of your influence and keep throwing around weight you don't have and cost yourself. Mike did that when I was a colleague of his, and LeBron and Aaron Rodgers have started to do that. It's not just that the juice isn't worth the squeeze. That's part of it. It's that LeBron and Aaron Rodgers, to continue to succeed at the level they need to, are going to have to do the hardest thing in sports other than become great, and that's be humbled after that level of greatness. And Joe Theismann, for me, totally crushed this when he, and this wasn't Rodgers' choosing, when he put his finger on why and how, at least in Rodgers' case, and LeBron, if you're listening, listen here, why Aaron Rodgers, at least for the moment, has had a pretty impressive turnaround.
See, the thing that's interesting in Pittsburgh to me is last year when Aaron was with the Jets, he was the general manager as well. He made personnel decisions. He wanted this player. He wanted that player. So they went and got him. Now in Pittsburgh, he wasn't going to do that with Mike. No, Aaron Rodgers is just playing football. And that's, you know, that's how good a football player he is. And if he just gets a chance to play football, then you get a chance to see the plays he makes, his awareness on the field, knowing where everybody is, and it's only going to get better and better, I think, in Pittsburgh as momentum builds with Aaron back there.
Do you know who was the biggest factor in the Steelers being 4-1 and Aaron Rodgers having a screw you, you were wrong season where he can point at me and other doubters? It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's not Mike Tomlin. It's Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn did Aaron Rodgers the biggest accidental favor on the face of the earth. Booted him, humbled him, treated Aaron Rodgers the way Aaron Rodgers probably treated other people in that organization. It was probably a culture move by Glenn. And liberated Rodgers by humiliating him and allowing Aaron Rodgers to have to go somewhere he never would have chosen on his own, which is a second choice, a third choice, one of the only options that are out there, forcing Rodgers to go somewhere where he'd have to just be the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers doesn't, I don't think, choose an organization where he doesn't get to be the guy, unless that's the only organization he can choose. And remember, he made them wait in an obnoxious way anyway, because it's the only power that he had, and they were smart. They understood that. And it's a lesson for LeBron. LeBron's a year younger, exactly a year younger than Aaron Rodgers, and he's a year behind Aaron Rodgers. Because LeBron's humiliation season, LeBron's you were the guy that we coveted with rose petals and champagne and sycophancy and compliments turn to get out of here moment is coming this season. Aaron Rodgers had it last year. Didn't work, wasn't going with the Jets. He got all of the receivers he wanted. He got to make all the decisions. He got to get people fired. His, sorry to say this, maybe this is mean, I'm a grown man, I probably should be kinder. At times, it appearing idiotic, then fired offensive coordinator that was handpicked, wasn't good enough, but that was his guy. And Aaron Rodgers had his humiliation last year, which led to exactly what he needed that he didn't want. That's what LeBron's best case scenario is. Lakers are not going to win an NBA championship. LeBron being banged up this year is just like Aaron Rodgers last year. It's a reminder, not only is it a question mark if he's healthy, whether he's worth it, it's a question mark whether he can even be healthy to answer the first question. The second question, can he be healthy, is up in the air. And he's got to be healthy to answer the first question. Is it even worth it if he's out there? And so as Rodgers takes the field tonight against a Bengals team that they should beat, and maybe they go to 5-1, it's also a lesson for LeBron and other NBA GMs that there is a model for this to work, and that model is a humiliation that the Lakers can put on LeBron James, the way the Jets put it on Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not saying this because I want these guys humiliated. I like LeBron. I don't like Aaron Rodgers. So they may be the same, but I have different reactions to them. Aaron Rodgers never done anything to me. LeBron has. Like, humans are complicated, and I'm one of those complicated humans. My point isn't that it's personal for me or I want to humiliate them because I don't like them. I like one of them and don't like the other. It's that that level of humiliation is the only thing that is going to possibly allow them to reach out and let us enjoy this while we watch sports and grasp one last moment of actual, legitimate, meaningful greatness at a winning level. At a winning level. Rodgers just has a chance, and I didn't think he would, and I was wrong. He should thank Aaron Glenn. And as much as LeBron isn't going to, he probably should thank Rob Pelinka, who I can tell you, sourcing, whatever, speculation, LeBron feels betrayed by Pelinka. Hired his coach, drafted his kid, and then Pelinka woke up and goes, oh, you know what? He's not good enough anymore. And I'm going to move on. LeBron will be somewhere, I think, that's not the Lakers next year, and he should look to Aaron Rodgers for a model. He should lean into the humiliation. He should hope he doesn't have his choice of teams, or at least really good competitive teams. He should hope that he's forced to go somewhere where they won't take his crap. Golden State. I know a lot of you want to play a Steph. The Oklahoma City Thunder. Well, they will bring it. They would bring in LeBron James and cut LeBron James. They don't even need LeBron James, obviously. They don't need him. somewhere along those lines. And it's easy for me to do this take and make it negative about those guys. It's not negative. It's just a reminder that greatness, the rare kind of greatness we're talking about here, is so rare that single simple rules don't apply. Some guys can be gracious at the end of their all-time great careers, and some guys can't. Kobe couldn't. Kobe Bryant couldn't do it. Tim Duncan could. Peyton Manning was able to do it. I mean, Peyton Manning wasn't very good his last year in Denver, but he was important and impactful and obviously able to have the right role and understand what he had to do. Aaron Rodgers was forced into the possibility of ending his career as Duncan and not Kobe. That's lucky, and he should embrace that. And I, at the end of the day, even with guys I don't like, I want greatness. I want to view things that are historic. I'm going to get a little cheesy on you. I want to be sitting in front of my TV drinking my Budweiser, hanging out, watching sports, and feel something, right? Have the hairs on your arm pick up a little bit. That happens when I know I'm watching history. It just does. And so I hope that LeBron has the same level of, sorry to say it, humiliation with the Lakers this year that Rodgers got with the Jets last year, and it leads to the same cutthroat necessity to just cut them loose that Rob Pelinka should show, that Aaron Glenn showed. And as a result, LeBron is forced to go to a place like the Pittsburgh Steelers for Aaron Rodgers, where the best parts of you get to succeed and the worst parts of you don't have the ability to throw their weight around anymore. Not an Aaron Rodgers guy, and I was wrong on what he'd do with Pittsburgh, and I'm glad to see it. Because you know what? The dude's a hell of a QB, and it's nice to watch him play meaningful football games. I hope LeBron gets the same thing. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. 888-710-4476. If you would like to weigh in on our thought experiment open here on the radio show. A lot of things to get to. I'll give you the Tua fake apology. Anytime a guy apologizes and says it's the media's fault, it's like saying, yeah, I'm really sorry that I was mean to my wife, but it was my neighbor's, but, you know, I blame them. Sorry, Susan. This is my wife's name. Sorry, Susan, that the neighbors were jerks. It's not an apology. Blue Jays keep their season, their hopes, their dreams, the comeback alive, but Dan Campbell, into a microphone, into his phone, talking to an Odyssey radio station, says the football equivalent of, I've seen Bigfoot. And I'll explain next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
It's not really called a Truman letter. I just call it a Truman letter. Harry, is it S. Truman? As in super good at history? Harry S. Don't know if it's an S. Truman. It'd be funny if it's Harry Dietrich. I don't know. Harry Truman. Why am I going with the middle name? I don't even know it. Just skip it, Writer.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
It was Harry S. Truman. Got it right. Historian Bill Ryder with you here on the show. Cannot listen to this song, which is a great song, without thinking about Thor. Because they used it for the trailer and one of the primary fight scenes in one of the Thor movies. Thanks, Marvel. Hi, Ryan.
Hello, Bill. Good morning.
You have not seen the Marvel movies, I take it.
I do know Thor, but the baseball version of Thor, not the Marvel character.
Different version.
Different guy is what you're saying.
The Marvel version is more durable and doesn't let you down.
Very true and very fair. Probably more efficient, too, with his pitches, I would guess.
Also, the Marvel version's a fictitious god who's basically immortal. So it's not a fair comparison to the guy that just hurled a baseball. But it's just a dude. You know what I'm saying?
That is very true.
Thank you. I don't really believe in Bigfoot, but when I did LA Radio, the show that works in the afternoons has a board op, who's a really nice guy. And he, you know, board ops make money, but they're not multimillionaires. He would save his money and save his money and save his money so that every year or two he could go on a two-week Bigfoot scouting trip in the deep woods of either Washington or Oregon. I should know this. Montana, somewhere up there. And he was otherwise a normal guy. Maybe he's totally a normal guy. And he insisted that he had two or three times seen Bigfoot, plural, his big feet, and he's seen a Bigfoot and a Bigfoot baby, and he's just like, matter of fact, like, no, it's real. He would like pay guides and go on these like incredibly intense Bigfoot trips. Yeah, I don't think he saw Bigfoot, but I don't know. And I'm not sure that Dan Campbell saw Bigfoot, or the Bigfoot of the NFL. So here's one of the NFL conspiracy theories that are out there. And again, like in a conspiracy theory, there's always a little bit of circumstantial evidence, and in the end, you're going to be able to believe what you want to believe. I've never been to the state of Washington at all, and I've never been in the woods of Oregon. I've never been to Montana. So I guess I can't really definitively say that there's no Bigfoot. I just don't think there is, but I understand the reason to think it. I have not been to every Chiefs game, and I have not been in the conversation of every official, so I can't speak to whether or not officials go, psst, Goodell, Goody told us to make sure the Chiefs win, so we're gonna throw the flag here even though we shouldn't. But that's certainly a prevailing conspiracy theory. There are many people who believe and have gotten increasingly frustrated as they've dominated that the Kansas City Chiefs get the beyond benefit of the doubt, that they get help from the NFL. There is a conspiracy of support from the officiating so that the Chiefs continue to win because it's, I guess, good drama, good ratings, help Mahomes, Golden Boy, Clark Hunt is a supervillain. I don't know the reasons why it would happen. And again, like with Bigfoot, I guess there's some the Chiefs not having a single penalty called against them against Detroit in that critical season, maybe turning win. They went to 3-3 beating the Lions rather than going to 2-4. Not a single penalty called for only the second time in 70 years. All right. Doesn't mean Bigfoot's real, but it's certainly like, that's interesting. I'm not going to spend all my money to go look for it, but that's okay. That's an interesting situation. And it's not the only thing over the years that have happened. There have been roughing the passer calls against Patrick Mahomes that are certainly made. I think it's fair to be incredulous. I would probably counter with that's true of a lot of quarterbacks who get barely touched when the flag comes out, but I understand the reasoning. Well, I'm going to get into the weeds here because now the conspiracy gets, you know, we're a good conspiracy. You go, I don't know, maybe. Maybe this thing's real. In that game, Jared Goff threw a critical touchdown pass that was called back for a legal motion penalty. I didn't even understand it. I didn't even understand what they were talking about, and neither did the announcers. And remember, the flag was called way after the fact. And so a conspiracy theorist, just watching it in real time, might go, you know what? That's some garbage. Somebody weighed in. Roger Goodell, Goody, I'm going to call him Goody, Goody face over there, like got on his secret mic. Bring it back. This is the conspiracy has to hold. And then we moved on with our lives, and we're like, okay, whatever, and maybe it's a bad call. And if I'm a Detroit fan, I'm furious. I am always against talking about bad calls unless it's my team, and then it's the most important story on the face of the earth. So I get it. I understand it. I'm with you. Here's the thing. On that play, I got to give you a little background here. You know this, but I got to tell you. The officials have to make the decision. There is a resource. There's a review center in New York City. I think it's in Secaucus. I don't know where it is. There's a review center back in New York City for the NFL where they can, when a play goes to review, they have the technology. You can get some support. There are some parameters by which they can help. But there's not New York, the review center, is not supposed to be able to throw a flag, so to speak. They're not supposed to be able to call up the official and go, hey, actually, you botched this. Go back. There's not review in real time from people outside of those that are between the lines. Even the officiating is supposed to be between the lines, mistakes or otherwise. And according to Dan Campbell, who was on 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit, he's claiming, now the officials later said not true, so good conspiracy, somebody's lying. He is saying, the head coach in Detroit is saying that the National Football League broke its own rules to, in effect, have a hidden hand from New York City help the Chiefs win a game.
After the game, you said it came from New York. Were you told that that came down from New York?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you guys inquiring as to why you were told that or inquiring as to what happened in that situation, why they went back a minute and a half later and threw the flag?
Yeah, we asked on all of that. We asked on all of it, and I can't tell you any of that.
But it was an official that told you it came from New York?
Yeah.
All right, so we all like conspiracy theories, and the one that I'm into, and I'll just tell you, I think there's aliens. That's fine. It make me crazy. And this reminds me of congressional hearings where senators and congressmen and women will go, do you know what the orbs are in the sky?
No.
And then there's just no other response. Do you think it's man-made?
No.
What do you think it's from?
Can't talk about that, Senator. It's classified.
That's what Dan Campbell sounds like. Yes. Yes. I can't discuss that. So, okay, so Campbell believes it. And look, maybe Dan heard it wrong, but most likely Dan Campbell's lying. I don't believe that. Or the officials are lying. It's hard for me. I don't believe that New York City weighed in. I don't know, Ryan. Where do you want to? Do you want to? I can't get to seeing Bigfoot here. I just can't. I can't allow myself to put it all together. And there's a lot of good circumstantial evidence to go, aha, Bigfoot's real in this NFL. This NFL metaphor, it's real. Do you want to try to talk me into it? I can't get there.
I mean, I'll say this. I do believe New York probably assisted in what was a bizarre play that no one really had any idea of whether it should count or not.
Right.
I don't believe, though, they interfered because it's a pro Chiefs. I mean, this is the first drive of the game.
Do you think they, because here's the thing. There's shades of gray here. If an official threw a flag, so I embedded years ago with an aspiring NFL official and went to all these random college games. It was really interesting. Like, if an official throws a flag, there's a huddle, right? And most of the rules, they all know that you have to memorize, and they're very clear. But there are times, and this was a lower level of competition, these were not NFL officials, there are times where it's such a perplexing situation that the lead official has to make a decision, and sometimes he can't remember or doesn't know the rule. I think it would be different if that happened, if the flag came out late because whoever threw it was like, I'm not sure, maybe, and then turned to his buddy and like, I think that's, throw the flag, and they didn't know, and they asked for New York clarification, are we doing this properly? I think it's totally different than the secret microphone in the lead official's ear. Like, we're going to do you don't know Star Wars. What was the Order 22, where they kill all the Jedi? It's Order 29, or whatever it's called. You know, time to screw over Detroit. I can't get to that part. The other one, maybe ask for something you're not supposed to make sure it was right, maybe.
And is that the worst? Like, is that really that bad? Like, if everyone loves to bitch about officials and what they get wrong. Everyone loves to complain. My apologies. Family friendly. It's early in the morning. Everyone loves to complain.
Wow. Okay.
And get angry about referees missing calls and how they're hurting their team. Well, this is such a—it's the rule is extremely ambiguous. But if they got it right and they got help, does it matter if you got it right on your own versus?
Yeah, I think it does.
Really?
Here's why: because if there's a critical strike thrown in a NLCS game and you don't have let's say 2 years from now, and you don't have a challenge or whatever that, right? And you're not supposed to be allowed to have technology help and see caucus. It would be Secaucus in MLB's case goes. Called a strike. You're out. Just kidding. It wasn't a ball. Yeah, it has to operate within the rules. And part of the reason I don't want robo umps, I know they're coming. And part of the reason I want them to find a fine line with using technology in the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball is I do think, maybe it's the former umpire in me and soccer ref, I do think that human error should be part of the equation of these competitions from officials as well as from athletes. Egregious human error, like horrible decision. Sure, I'm here for it. But I don't know. If an official just doesn't understand the rule or misses the rule, I don't want New York weighing in if they're not supposed to, especially on behalf of a Chiefs team that, right or wrong, most of the NFL thinks gets help.
Well, should you then change the rule of, hey, they can assist on everything?
That's a lot. It's a slippery slope. It's a lot. The game will. I think the reason baseball's in, and I probably should discuss this more, is in as healthy a spot, as riveting a spot as I can remember in a really long time, which I know pushes back on the there should be a salary cap. I still think there should be a salary floor. We did that yesterday. We don't have to do it today. Part of the reason, it's not the only reason, but part of the reason baseball's in such a great spot, credit Manfred, credit the commissioner, who I've made fun of a lot, is they sped the game up. The game's so much faster, and we do. We have shorter attention spans. We just do. I don't think anything that slows NFL games down is good for the game. I don't. I don't think you want multiple time. Because the other thing is, if you're whoever's supposed to make the call is going to have the nervousness they're going to get it wrong. And so if you're in New York and you're not supposed to make the call and you sort of weigh in with no pressure, okay, cool. If it's all of a sudden, no, New York can weigh in all the time, whoever's in that room is going to constantly be like second-guessing themselves and constantly, oh, hold on, wait, I got to check this. Oh, hold on, wait, I got to check this. Hold on, wait, that might have been holding. The game will take forever. The rhythm of the game would slow down.
I mean, they do it now with the expedited review. I get that's for, is he inbounds or out of bounds? Is it, you know, a forward pass?
But
is it a first down or not?
I mean, look, here's the other thing about the NFL. You can look at almost any play on the offensive and defensive line and find almost holding. If you talk to offensive linemen, like the line is pretty thin. Do you really want someone in New York City just going through every play? Oh, that's technically holding. He closed his hand. I don't know, man.
No. And
I don't.
The pass interference review, thankfully, was only 1 year, was a disaster. I hated
it. It was a disaster.
But I guess more what I would say is, or what I'm open to is like, interpretation of the rules. Like, for example, this convoluted, do you have the hands on their center? You have to come to a complete stop. It's a dumb rule. And we can even discuss.
But that's a rule issue, right? Yeah, yeah. I think that's another. Here's the problem, that if you're going to point to examples where New York City review oversteps a little bit, don't do it on behalf of the Chiefs the first two or three times. Don't let this conversation, because this conversation becomes a Chiefs conspiracy conversation, becomes this Bigfoot reel. It doesn't become how does the NFL fine-tune its rules and technology to make the sport better, which, by the way, no one would have because it's not as interesting as the NFL is doing it on purpose.
Taylor Swift strikes again.
Taylor Swift, her last two albums are terrible, so she's... No, I'm just kidding. Swifties, I'm kidding. They're... The two ago was not... How's the new one? I don't even know.
I think it's pretty good. I've actually heard a few songs. Yeah. I think
there's some bangers on there?
Oh, yeah.
I apologize, Swifties. I love Taylor Swift. My bad. Stay off my timeline. It's all... Everything's good. All right. Let's do a little Would You Rather? Is this going to be historic like yesterday's... You didn't say so.
No.
Ryan is underwhelmed with Would You Rather. I'm going to carry the day. I'm going to lift it up. I'm going to be a hero after a sports flash from Chris Lopresti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Bill, football is heating up. Basketball is back. So download the Prize Picks app and use code PRIMETIME. Get $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Resumption of the ALCS last night and down 2-0 on the road in Seattle. The Blue Jays found themselves in a quick 2-0 hole in the game after the first inning, but they end up hitting 5 homers, went on to rout the Mariners 13-4. Vlad Guerrero Jr. had one of those home runs as part of a 4-for-4 night at the plate. John Schneider's club now on the board in this series.
Momentum can be a real thing. We're going to approach tomorrow like the series is 0-0 and continue to try to do everything we can to do to win tomorrow.
Tomorrow becomes tonight, game 4, 8:33 Eastern. You've also got game 3 of the NLCS with the Dodgers up 2-0 on the Brewers heading back home to Los Angeles. That one gets underway shortly after 6 Eastern. The Orioles are reportedly interested in speaking with Albert Pujols about their managerial vacancies, already looked at as a prime candidate for the Angels job, having previously met with Halo's brass. NFL Week 7 opens tonight in Cincinnati with Joe Flacco and the Bengals hosting Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. 81-plus years combined between the two starting QBs. Kickoff at 8:15 Eastern. I'm Chris Lopresti.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
These cheap you-know-whats. That's when you want to be swearing, but I can't because it's radio and I respect you and I respect the government and I don't want to get in trouble and I don't want to lose my job. These cheap you-know-whats won't pay him the money he's worth.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
That's how I feel. That's not how Ryan feels. He dropped a swear word in there last segment. He dropped in a swearsies.
Wow. I've washed my mouth out with soap in the break, so... I would not be doing that again.
To the parents of the children listening, I am sorry. It's a two-apology. Sorry for Ryan. But if it was Ryan in this case, we'll get to the fake two-apology later. Yesterday, I proposed, without running it by my bosses, but they're listening, so here's the proposal, guys. I proposed, and we do an extra show, for which we get paid, every Friday with the segments we don't even get to. And at this point... It would be the Tua show, because I just keep skipping Tua. But he's doing stuff. You'll never know it, because we're not bringing it up. But we'll tell you about it later if we can. In the meantime, with Mr. Swearword over here, it's time for Would You Swearer, rather.
It's time for Would You Rather on Writer Than You.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. You know what? Let's get to Tua. Right now, off the bat, Would You Rather... Have Tua or Aaron Rodgers be your quarterback for the rest of the season?
What's crazy is it's not even a question, Aaron Rodgers. It's so
Aaron
Rodgers.
Wow, really?
I know. Is there another answer?
Well, I guess, the answer really is C, none of the above, but that does
not. That's not how the segment works, yeah.
Oh, boy. Actually, I didn't think about this myself.
D-Cell used to say, I think he once asked me, would you rather die in a fire or drown? I was just like, I'm not answering the question. This isn't that bad, but it's bad. I don't want either guy. I mean, in fairness, that's not even right. Aaron Rodgers is winning football games, so.
But he is older. I mean, both are injury prone.
What would the Steelers' record be if Tua Tagovailoa were their quarterback?
I would say about maybe 3-2, 4-1. Like, I don't think Aaron's done a ton. So outside of the first week, 4 touchdown passes against the Jets.
Tua has been turning the ball over.
7 interceptions. He's on track, Bill, for 20 20. Yeah. We're six weeks into the season.
I think it's a no-brainer. I know what you're doing. You're leaning into my lack of affection for Mr. Rogers, but credit where credit's due. Give me Aaron.
And also highlighting right now just how bad Tua's been to where he's, what, almost 15, 12 years younger? And still, it's like, yeah, I'll take Aaron. Crazy. Would you rather $100 of your own money, and you have to bet, would you rather right now bet your $100 on either the Bills or the Eagles to win the Super Bowl this season?
Excellent question. Both teams have lost two in a row. The NFC's harder than we thought it was going to be. Ravens and the Bengals, for different reasons, are out. They're done. They're finished. I like the Bills. Is that crazy? I know that we just saw a real concern that if Josh Allen can't be Superman, then the Bills are in trouble. But he is Superman. So I will take Buffalo. Who would you take?
I would take the Eagles still, even in a harder conference. Because I like the fact they can win games in multiple ways. And also, they have been drama-filled now for, what, 3 or 4 years? And for the most part, they find ways to win.
But they weren't drama-filled last year. I mean, they kind of put it aside, I think.
They got off to, they were 2-2 to start. It was kind of weird,
The year before, they had that great start, right? And then it all fell apart, and we thought Hurts and Sirianni hated each other. I also do think Buffalo's more due, and I think it's hard to win back-to-back for a very legitimate reason.
Okay. So your $100 going on the Bills from Bill Ryder here in 2025. Lock it up.
You love the Eagles. Every time we talk about the Eagles, you love the Eagles lose a game, and you're like, that's why they can win the whole
game. Well, and not just, I am an Eagles, I guess, defender, if you will. Believer.
Yeah, you are.
Believer is the better way to say it.
You're basically the catcher, I can't remember his name, from Major League. The Eagles lose by 3 touchdowns next week, and you'll go, there's only one thing left for them to do, win the whole bleeping thing. Okay, maybe, or maybe they, lose in the first round of the playoffs, Ryan.
I'm an optimist. I'm like to keep Major League going here. I'm like that fan in right field. It's too high. It's not coming out.
Who's the last team to repeat as Super Bowl champions?
The Chiefs.
Before them.
Patriots.
When?
2003 and 4.
So twice this century.
That is correct.
I don't think it's happening again.
Hot take, Ryder.
I'm going to admit, I forgot about the Chiefs. God, they're so good.
I mean, to be fair, it is like one of those.
Tell me when it happened last, 2 years ago. Oh, shoot.
You did. I was like, am I getting pumped here for a second? You said it's so matter of fact. Like,
I really did.
Tell me the last time my team was
beaten. Oh, yeah. Smart guy. Tell me the last time it happened.
When was the last time a team went for a three-peat? 9 months ago?
Would you rather be anywhere else on Earth, Bill? Yes, I would right now.
Oh, how about this, Bill? So recently, a Dallas Stars fan went viral. He showed up to the game in full hockey goalie gear. We're talking everything. Pads, helmet. He even wore the blocker and the glove and had a beanie over his helmet. So, would you rather have to attend a sporting event, whatever sport you're in or you attend, that full uniform? So, if it's baseball, full thing, cleats, glove, football, helmet, pads, everything.
Got it.
Or not go at all.
Not go at all. How did he see?
I don't know. I mean, you guess you got to go see through the bars. Just look at the way a goalie sees through the bars. Not easy.
Would you rather, now you're engaged, I just think this through, would you rather go to a hockey game with this viral fan?
Okay.
Or the young lady, I believe she was an Islanders fan from a few years ago, who went viral?
Oh, she's an Oilers fan.
Oilers fan, sorry.
Oh, I mean, well, I will say this. If you're sitting next to a guy in full hockey gear, most stadiums now, those seats are tight.
Right.
That guy's going to sure be spilling,
Sure.
Have his arm on the armrest with the pads. It's going to be encroaching my space.
Sure.
So sitting next to a guy in full goalie equipment, just from a pure enjoyment of the game, I'm going to basically be sitting in half a seat that's already pretty small anyway.
So that's the image flashing in front of you.
That, yes. Just, again, because I don't want to be going to a game miserable, right?
So you're going with the lady that took her shirt off.
She keeps to herself. So, yeah. She's going to be encroaching on my space.
Whatever happened? Did she get identified? Yeah, she did, right? We know who she is?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Is she an influencer now or something? Is she famous?
I think she's done... She was asked to do, I have to double check because now it's been 2 years and I've not seen it.
You have to double check, huh?
She's been, this is a work project, I promise, bosses. She was asked to do a certain photo shoot for a certain company, I believe. I don't know if she went through with it, but she definitely got some offers. So she was ID'd and got her 15 minutes of fame.
You're hanging out with her?
Over a guy in full hockey equipment, yes.
Got it.
Would you rather, what's your answer to that one?
Moving on.
Would you rather, we got a big matchup in the SEC this weekend, Bill, Georgia, Ole Miss. Would you rather, for this game, have Lane Kiffin or Kirby Smart be your head coach?
Lane Kiffin. I know I say that Lane's a jerk sometimes. I'm on the Lane train. Like, let's give me all the, give me Ole Miss all the time because he's so funny and so entertaining, and it's just such good sports talk. Yes.
It is, and he's got that offense rolling. Ole Miss is looking good. Top five team.
And he called Kirby Smart fat. I mean, it's the gift that he's the gift that keeps on giving.
And you know what? To his credit so far this year, he makes promises and delivers. His daughter's dating the LSU linebacker. What does he do? Make the LSU linebacker throw up in the middle of the game. He's going too fast, pushing tempo.
That's true.
He talks the talk, and so far this year, he's walking the walk here as well. Would you rather, Bill, celebrate Halloween or Thanksgiving?
Tricky, because my dad's birthday is Halloween.
Okay. We can take that out if you want and just not
have
to.
I don't get to call my dad on Halloween.
Halloween or Thanksgiving?
What's wrong with you?
You pick one. Do you love your dad?
First, you're sitting with this lady when you're engaged. Now you're saying I can't talk to my dad? I will go Thanksgiving because I like the laziness of it. It's the entirety of the day. You get a little nap in after the turkey, and it's a lot of family time.
You don't like dressing up in costume, huh?
No. I once went to a Bill Self's house for a party for a story. And I had to dress up as I just put a stupid head on and put press in my little thing, and like a little thing that said press him in the hat.
You're joking?
No. And everyone, I was walking out with a notebook writing down what everyone was saying. And they didn't know I was a reporter. They thought it was just an outfit.
You were doing Bill Seffler said, "Hey, come on, I'm having a Halloween party. This would be a good setting for you to interview."
I was like, "Hey, can I come hang out at your house?" He's like, "I got a Halloween party coming up on Friday. You want to come?" Sure.
Can I imagine what's being said?
It's like 20 years ago, 15 years ago, yeah.
Would you rather, let's finish here. Would you rather see Mizzou win a national championship or the Bears win a Super Bowl?
Oh, wow. What a terrible question. You're a bad person. I got to choose?
Have to choose.
Is it weird that I'd rather see Missouri win a basketball championship if I were to choose Missouri?
No. Interesting. So that's number one. So if I gave you all your teams that have yet to win, Mizzou basketball will be number one for you.
I'll go Bears in the Super Bowl. What?
No, I just love the, what about Mizzou basketball? Just steer everything to the right.
I was thinking it through. Would
Mizzou
you rather have Penn State?
Or the Cubs winning another World Series?
A bad person. Mizzou basketball. You know who's not a bad person? Herm Edwards. He's up next on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
There's nothing that I love more than watching an interview with some famous actress or hot person who's like, I just really, personalities, what does it? No, it doesn't. Because I have a great personality. And you weren't dating me 15, 20 years ago. I'm hilarious sometimes.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the show. Bill Ryder with you. Really excited about our next guest. He won't remember me because I was just a face in the scrum, but I have been around Herm Edwards for 20 years. My Kansas City Star days as a newspaper writer back in the day. Great guy, incredible NFL mind, ESPN NFL analyst, host of Herm's Game Plan, where he breaks down the latest news in the National Football League. Long time, obviously, and very successful NFL head coach at Arizona State for several years on X, on Twitter, at Herm Edwards, and joined us now. Herm, good morning, man. Thanks again for making time.
My pleasure, my friend. A lot going on in the National Football League. In my opinion, I think every time you want to crown one of these teams, not so fast, right? I mean, when you would think about after six weeks of play, there's two teams that are 5-1, and one of them you could probably say, okay, I can see that. They've kind of really been the front leader in the division is the NFC South with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield, and their team are 5-1. But lo and behold, I never would have thought this, that the Colts, Indianapolis Colts, are 5-1. I'm going, really? Okay. I don't know anything about football anymore.
Well, Herm, the gentleman who just put you on the air, Ryan Hickey, who executive produces this show, is a huge Colts fan. He's been walking around a little extra, skip in his step. Is this real? I mean, I don't want to burst the balloon, but we've seen teams. We saw the Cardinals a few years ago. Arizona started 9-1 or 10-1, and the wheels came off. Right, it's a long season. How likely is it the Colts are legitimately a great football team?
Well, I think right now, I mean, every week we wonder, can they keep this up? And they're proving to everybody that we are real. And good for them. I think it's good for football when things like this happen. You know, if I would tell you and tell fans right now that they, and offensively, they're fourth in the league, offensively. They got a pretty good offense. And so you kind of go, really? The Colts? Yeah, the Colts. They got a good offense, you know, and they can score points, and when you can do that, obviously that takes a lot of pressure off your defense. So I think as long as the quarterback continues to play the way he plays, these guys are scoring 32 points a game. Colts, 32 points. One of the highest scoring teams, maybe the highest. Well, yeah, the highest scoring team in the National Football League is the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, that isn't and this happens, right? There are teams that kind of come out of nowhere, and then there are teams that we expect to be great or we expect to make a leap and don't. And the Ravens qualify. The Bengals have had injuries, but they qualify perhaps to a degree. And maybe a lot of us or some wishful thinkers, Herm, thought that might apply to the Chiefs this year. They had that Detroit game. Had they lost, they would have been 2-4. They obviously they won that game, so they're 3-3. It just feels like clockwork every year there in the AFC Championship game. What's your assessment in what feels like a wide-open AFC, whether it is less or more wide-open than we might think, given your temperature on what you think the Chiefs are going to be?
Well, I don't think the Chiefs – I think the Chiefs have competition in this division now with the Denver Broncos and the Los Angeles Chargers. I want to call them the San Diego Chargers, but they're the Los Angeles Chargers, whatever. They moved to 50 miles, and now they're in L.A. But anyway – I think those teams will be very competitive in that division, along with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs, obviously, you cannot put them away. You can never count them out with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And then just, you know, those guys were hurt early in the season, and now they're getting some guys back. And, you know, they were intentional when they played Detroit. They wanted to show everybody, not only are we back, but we're going to be we're a physical football team. And they ran it. I mean, they were intentional with Detroit. They took Detroit's game plan and said, look, you think you're tough? Watch this. And they ran them over. I mean, they basically physically beat them up a little bit. That was kind of interesting in Arrowhead. So hard place to play. So I think those teams are obviously going to challenge the Chiefs. You mentioned the AFC North. Boy, I mean, that division is for Pittsburgh to lose. Basically, I don't know how the Ravens catch up with them. The Ravens are 1-5, and the Bengals, you know, they're playing with Joe Flacco. They're on the third quarterback. I mean, and the Browns, we know what the Browns are playing with a rookie quarterback. I mean, Pittsburgh's just sitting there going, "Oh, okay, everybody's hurt. We'll just keep playing with Aaron Rodgers, and we'll win this division, right?" So that's kind of interesting. And we already mentioned the South. It's the Colts and the Jaguars. And then what makes it interesting for me in the AFC East is, you know, it's kind of interesting. Quietly, the New England Patriots have the same record as the Buffalo Bills, and they beat Buffalo in Buffalo. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, credit to Mike Vrabel. Herm Edwards here. Yeah. Here, I'm trying to remember, Herm. I should know this, but I don't. Did Vrabel overlap with you in Kansas
No.
City? That was much further down the road, right?
No.
I'm too old to remember stuff now.
Yeah.
It was just there for a hot second. But yeah. Herm Edwards hanging out here on the show. Herm, I don't know if you saw – all right, so obviously as teams have dominance and success, there is going to be natural resentment from fans and sometimes teams. Mm. That has applied to the Patriots over the years. It applies to the Chiefs now. There has been a conversation out there, certainly among fans and media, a concern the Chiefs get way too much benefit of the doubt or more from the officials. And then you had that sort of bizarre illegal motion call that brought back a Jared Goff touchdown. And I don't know if you saw this, but Dan Campbell went on local radio in Detroit, I guess yesterday, and said that he was told by the officials that came from New York. that New York basically, in effect, threw the flag, which you're not allowed to do, and that's got a lot of the sort of conspiracy theorists going, aha, we knew it, the NFL's in it for the Chiefs. Let me ask you this big picture first, and we'll get into this, you know, maybe dive in. In your time coaching the NFL, did you ever get the sense intentionally or maybe subconsciously that there were benefits certain teams got from the officials? Did that ever feel like a real thing in your time in the NFL?
I think this, I do personally believe this, when you're a winning team and you win, and how you talk to the officials on the sideline during a game are very important. And you can take it from there. And that's what I'll say on it. And I know that being a head coach, and I know that being the least penalized team in football when I was a head coach. And that was my intentions when I visited with my team. I said, look, we're not going to beat ourselves with turnovers and penalties. That's something we can do. That doesn't take talent to figure that out. I said, that's how we're going to play. And we were able to do that wherever I was at as a head coach. And I learned that from Tony. And I also learned how to address officials before the game and during the game, how you talk to them, you know, and not trying to, you know, but just how you talk to them when you're calm and you ask questions, why they call that. I mean, just the knowledge of it all. And you know, they're human too. I mean, do they give some teams the benefit of the doubt? I don't know that. I'm not going to sit here and say that. But there are certain teams, and I go back to the days of Don Shula. When Don Shula was coaching, and I was a player, when you played the Miami Dolphins, you went, "Ooh, these guys never have any penalties. They're structured. They're tightened up, you know." And you go look back at those days, and Shula was always winning. They were the least penalized team. It was like, I mean, I learned that, you know, as a player, just watching certain teams play and watching the way coaches handle things. And so, that's just my advice. That's what I've seen in the history of the NFL.
Herm Edwards here on the show. Herm, one of the reasons I love getting to talk to people like you who have had massive success at the professional level is because sometimes you can give us some perspective that as fans who didn't play, as radio hosts, former newspaper writers who didn't play, things we miss. Yesterday, Tony Gwynn Jr. let me know that my time shining as a 12-year-old traveling Little League player does not, in fact, necessarily qualify me to understand what it is to be a Major League hitter. I'm wondering, in that same context, this Tua story that has gained a lot of steam. He comes out, he seems to criticize teammates for being late to player meetings, and then you've got guys sort of pushing back. A former player who was on the team for 10 seconds said, in my 2 weeks there, he missed player meetings. Now Tua has apologized, sort of, in his next comments. The head coach first said it wasn't a big deal, then came back and said, I listened, Tua shouldn't have done that. Here's my question for you. To what degree does it actually matter to the guys in the locker room when a player like Tua Tagovailoa, when an important football player says something to the press that is perceived as critical or outside the lines of the guys he plays with?
Well, I think when you look back at it, I think my advice would have been to Tua as a former player that, and this is what I learned when I came, when I became a part of the NFL as a player, what we do here, what we say here stays here when we leave here. And there are certain things that go on in that locker room that are said or in meetings that it stays there. That's your family. Yeah, that team is your family. And do you always get along with them? No. No, you don't. But you handle that in the locker room. You handle that indoors. You know, you don't bring that to the press. I thought his intentions were good, but it was the wrong platform publicly to come out and say some of the things he said. And he had good intentions. And then when that happens, then this happens. What we're talking about right now, right? And everybody's got something to say now. The player's got something to say. The organization has something to say. And it's a shame because his intentions were good. He just didn't need to do that publicly. He needed to do that, obviously, with the players. And, you know, any good team is run by the players in-house. Players handle that stuff, and coaches know that. And I say that as a former player. You know, there's a body of guys in there, four or five guys, that are the guys, and they handle stuff. And when you're the head coach and certain things need to be taken care of, you meet with those guys, you talk to those guys, and they'll give you a feel of the locker room. They kind of tell you, and they're not rats, but they'll kind of tell you, hey, coach, this is okay. I had that every time I coached somewhere, you know, and they handle that stuff for you.
That is really interesting. Herm Edwards hanging out here on the show. Herm, let me, and thank you as always for the time, let me end here. We started talking about some of the surprises in the NFL, which happen every year. Colts are surprising to maybe a degree. Yeah. Tampa Bay, surprising. You pointed out the Patriots, and credit you, because that team deserves, and we don't talk about them enough. They played good football. Maybe what has not been surprising is the NFC North. We thought it would be maybe one of the most interesting competitive divisions of football. It has been. We thought maybe the Bears would be worth watching and potentially better. They have been. We thought Detroit was going to probably be okay with their two coordinators becoming coaches. They look, despite the loss of the Chiefs, they've looked really good. The Vikings have a new quarterback, sort of. I mean, they certainly have a new quarterback. They're still 3-2. How do you assess that division and where you sort of where you think it's going, and how many of those teams you think can be legitimate playoff teams when we get to the end of the season?
Well, it'd be very difficult for all four of them to get in, but obviously three of them have a chance. When you talk about Green Bay, you talk about Detroit and Minnesota right now. I think the Bears will be the most improved team in that division. I think Ben Johnson now going over to Chicago, when you think about it, he brought his offense to Chicago, and he's got a quarterback with a lot of talent. And I think we saw that the last couple of weeks now, how he has developed. And that game against Washington was real important for him personally against Jaden Daniels. They both came out at the same time. Jaden had a great, great start his first year. And, you know, and obviously Caleb Williams did not. And now you look at Caleb Williams and you go, it looks a little bit different right now, doesn't it? It's like people are going, woo. If you're a Bears fan, you're going, woo, we got a quarterback. Yeah, you got a quarterback. You're going to be good. And so that whole division, when you think about it, I mean, Caleb Williams, first-round pick, obviously we know what Jared Goff is. We know what the Packers have. And the Vikings are playing with a quarterback that's resurrected his career. And it's a fun division to watch.
All right, Herm, I lied to you. I have a follow-up question because that's such a good answer. I got to know this. So it is hard, and I know this only from covering it, not from having to do it like you did. It is not necessarily a guarantee you're going to succeed when you make the leap from coordinator or assistant coach to head coach, no matter how talented you are, like quarterbacks who make the leap from college to the pros.
Correct.
A lot of factors. Aaron Glenn, not going well. Doesn't mean he won't turn around. Not going well. Ben Johnson, you noted, going very well. You obviously made that leap with incredible success. You are a person with a successful head coaching career. You had to make that transition. For guys that make that change, what are the keys to success or failure from going from assistant coach to the head coach in the NFL?
Well, I think you have to bring your personality, right? You can't be the coach that you followed. You can't be the coach you work for. And then I think hiring your staff is critical. Hiring your staff is critical. And everyone's, they can't all be the same. You know, you have to have a couple guys that are hardliners, that are tough. You got to have a couple other guys who are kind of loose. Putting your staff together is critical. And sometimes you don't get it right the first year. You know, when you look at it, you evaluate your staff as you evaluate players and say, well, this guy doesn't, you know, he doesn't, good coach, but he don't fit. And so, you know, it's kind of like, I learned this from Tony Dungy. We came in the league together. You know, we played some all-star games. That's how we first met when we came out of college. And then I worked with him in Tampa. Worked with him in Kansas City when Marty was there. And when he went to Tampa, became assistant head coach. And so he had hired all his coaches. And we had talked about, you know, working together. And I was in Kansas City and I ain't going to leave here. And Tony says, hey, you got to come. You got to come. We promised we work together. So I go down there. And I become the coach, and Lynch tells the story, him and Ronnie Barber, that Tony has this big team meeting, and he's kind of addressing the players, and the players are kind of sitting there going, yeah. You hear about Tony, he's mellow, he's kind of this way. And then Tony says, okay, assistant head coach Herm's going to talk to you guys, and I'm leaving the room. So he leaves the room, and then I address these guys for about 10 minutes. And Lynch and those guys, after I leave, you know, they say, well, we figured it out. Herm's the bad cop. He said, Herm's the bad cop. And, you know, they figured it out. Said, well, if it gets to Herm's desk, you got problems. And they were correct. I was the bad cop. I had to be the bad cop for Tony. And so I think how you you know, measure your coaches, how you pick them. I think one of the critical ones, the two hardest hires, and if you get it right, you got a shot. Offensive line coach, defensive line coach. Offensive line coach, defensive line coach. And obviously the quarterback coach. But the two that get overlooked sometimes is the offensive line coach and the defensive line coach. Those are critical hires, in my opinion.
That is a great story, and it's very interesting. When you yeah. made the leap yourself and you went to mm-hmm. you went to the Jazz and you're in Kansas City, did you have to bring in a bad cop or did you have to bring in a good cop as your counterweight?
No, I was kind of the guy that was the guy that I could change personalities on them and they knew it.
Yeah.
I was just that kind of guy. You know, I could be both. I could kind of like, okay, this is what we're going to do.
I love it. I only saw the good cop version when I was a Kansas City Star reporter back in the day. Herm Edwards, this was great. This was fascinating. I took you too long. I kept you too long because you're too good. But apologize for using up all your time. Thank you so much for making that time.
Anytime, my friend. Be well.
You too. Herm Edwards, that was great. ESPN NFL analyst, long time, as you know, head coach, NFL level, almost a decade. Also coached at Arizona State, coach Jaden Daniels for three seasons on Twitter at Herm Edwards and the host of Herm's Game Plan, where he breaks down the latest news in the NFL. Ryan, I love that. I geek out on that kind of stuff. I would never think offensive line coach, defensive line coach. I wouldn't even get my mind around how critical it is to hire the right staff. I mean, I get it, but... And I would have gone straight to coordinator, but that's a culture thing, right? Those are your culture guys setting the tone. Really. And I'll say this, as somebody who used to have a TV show, doesn't anymore, and was in charge of it, it is not easy to hire people, to just on the fly when you have other responsibilities, hire 5, 6, 7, 8 people. Man, Herm Edwards is the best. And he likes your Colts.
Let's go. That's why he's the best.
We don't have an angel of the week or a great guy of the week or a whatever. What's the opposite of bum, you know? Hero of the week. But if we did, it would be Herm. But we don't. We have a bum of the week. Could be me. I'm nominated. I'll tell you why tomorrow. That's not right now. What's right now is a wonderful buy or sell. We'll get into some baseball. Blue Jays, baby! They're back? Question mark? We'll answer that next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
There's nothing that I love more than watching an interview with some famous actress or hot person who's like, I just really, personality is what does it? No, it doesn't. Because I have a great personality. And you weren't dating me 15, 20 years ago. I'm hilarious sometimes.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Yeah, but I'm also ugly. That's part of the... You didn't get that in there. Making me sound all arrogant.
You? Arrogant? I would never make you sound like
Look
that.
Like a toad. Got beat up by an ugly stick. Ladies, what's up? Bill Ryder, along with perhaps the most organized executive producer on the face of the earth, and Ryan Hickey. Let's go, Ryan. I'm going to petition to do this extra show or get a longer show just so we can give you a segment. What we call it, though, because it used to be Trace's Case when I called you Trace. But I don't know because of my name. Hurts my feelings. I don't know what, you know, we'll figure it out.
I don't sound like that, first of all.
I guess I can do it. It's so mean to me. This portion of our kindness show, this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
I'm going to pull an audible here. I'm going to ask myself a question, then answer it. Buy or sell. That impersonation is more about the other guy than me.
Buy.
Impression's more about the other guy. Buy. Like that?
I don't know who that sounds like. Not me.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Sounds like Eeyore. If Eeyore could talk.
The other guy being the last guy? You mean the last guy? The other guy being the last guy?
The other guy being the last guy.
That is a carryover. That is what he sounds like. Even when he's happy. Hey, man, this is like one of the best shows we've done in a long time. I guess it was really good.
I guess it was okay.
he's a funny guy.
Oh, Tommy.
Yours is more like, I'm really mad, but I don't want to say anything about it. Buyer sell that was better or worse. Buyer sell that was better.
Buy.
Really?
That one feels like more sounds like me. Got the other one's Eeyore.
Okay.
But, you know.
We're off the rails, man.
Let's get
buy or sell, we even have rails to go off of at this point.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sell.
Okay.
We got a runaway train just cruising down whatever's in front of us.
That was a great song. The REM?
I don't know.
Runaway train never coming back? Wrong way on a one-way track? No, it's like somebody else. Not REM. Excuse me.
Sorry, REM.
Runaway train. You got some questions, or what are we doing here?
I do. USA Today. Okay. They reported yesterday, Bill, that Florida head coach Billy Napier could be relieved of his duties as soon as this weekend if the 2-4 Gators lose to Mississippi State. Not the first time Napier's been on the hot seat. He's really been fighting for his job now for the last few years. His 21-23 record and his 4 years in Gainesville is the worst record by a Gators head coach since the 1940s. Buy or sell. Win or lose at this point, Florida should fire head coach Billy Napier.
Buy. And that is a
buy.
Shocking and impressive stat you just threw our way. It's like the that, worst record since the 1940s?
Which also highlights they hire coaches and they, for the most part, I mean, maybe not get them right, but they don't fall on their face.
I mean, it's not that. I always bring up programs that were the elite that lost their hold on it. I always forget Florida. Florida was the program.
Urban Meyer made them the center of attention for those 3 or 4 years, especially.
Yes. Man, what he and Tebow put together, I mean, are you kidding me? You think about Urban Meyer's teams and Pete Carroll's USC teams, and then where those programs are today. USC's a little bit better, but still, they ain't Georgia. They ain't Ohio State. They ain't Iowa.
And they certainly ain't what they used to be. I like that.
There. Yeah, I got it there.
They ain't Penn State.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Jaguars head coach Liam Cohen discussed Travis Hunter's usage so far and said it's on the coaches to get him the ball more. Take a listen.
Scheming him open is part of it, is number one, is my job ultimately, our job as an offensive staff to make sure we're putting him in the progression and putting him in the position to be number one as, you know, a little bit more often in some ways. And then when he is the primary, hey, you know, we got to throw him catch. You know, we got to make sure that we identify it, find them, be able to be at the right spot at the right time.
So the Jaguars, right, did draft Hunter to play both ways, but primarily want him to be a receiver. So far, his offensive stats, his 20 receptions are tied for second on the team. His 197 yards are third on the team. And there's been 7 different players, Bill, who have caught a touchdown pass from Trevor Lawrence this season. None of them being the former number 2 overall pick. Buy or sell. Through 6 weeks, the Jaguars have mishandled Travis Hunter.
Man, I'm going to sell.
Sell.
Maybe they have. I just think he's been underwhelming.
And is that more, you think, on him or just like...
It's really hard to assess 5 games into a career.
True.
For a rookie who's supposed to play both ways. But I'll say that he does seem to fade in games. He just sort of disappears into the game and... Heisman Trophy winner, generational talent, Shohei Ohtani of football. They moved up to get him. You thought there'd be some level of impact occasionally. Even I thought maybe there'd be games where he impacted the game in a massive way and then games where he sort of didn't play well because he's young. He's just been sort of anonymous. I don't know that he's been bad. He just hasn't been really impressive.
So far, I think the only play that kind of stands out is that Monday night game. He had like a nice 20 or 30-yard catch down the field.
Right.
Really, only it?
If you want me to sort of glass half full the thing, which I can, if I can go sort of positive, it takes young guys a while sometimes to adjust, right? It does. And at his level of expectation, which is, I think, ultimately to make an impact, maybe make a sizable impact on both sides of the ball, it might take twice as long to have an impact or more because it's multiple meetings you're supposed to go to. It's a different focus. He's not accustomed to not impacting the game on both sides of the ball, and so that's an ego adjustment. So maybe we have to be as patient with him as we almost are with a quarterback who's talented, but we know isn't ready to step in day one.
Tua showed very little patience after the game on Sunday, Bill, as he threw his teammates under the bus. You know, I'll give myself a bye.
Bye!
And said that the lack of leadership right now is killing this team. Well, after a few days, he had some time to think about it, and yesterday issued an apology to his teammates. Take a listen.
I've made a mistake. And I'm owning up to that right now. You know, I've talked to guys on the team about it, talked to the leaders about it. They know my heart. They know that the intent was right. But no matter the intent, you know, the intent can be right, but when things get misconstrued or however the media wants to portray it, you know, that leaves a void of silence and a lot of questions for the guys on our team. Now, being 1-5, you know, we talk a lot about, all right, we got to get this going. We got to get this going. Come in excited to go to work. Forget about the noise. And I feel like I just added on to that for our guys.
So two of the season, when you talk about his on-field struggles, is averaging just 202 passing yards per game, is on pace to throw the most interceptions of his career. Buy or sell? You believe Tua has lost all respect in the locker room?
I'll buy. And maybe outside of it, because misconstrued? Oh, it's our fault? It's the media's fault that you said what you said? Also, what does this mean, void of silence? It created a void of silence in the locker. What are you talking about? You know how I know I'm in deep crap with my wife? When I'm apologizing but not apologizing for whatever I did to the dishes. Lori, but it created a void of silence. Once I start saying things that don't make sense, I've lost the string. That's when I know I'm in deep trouble. That's the sign to just pull the parachute button. To just stop and go, I'm wrong, you're right. You're always right, I'm gonna go. See you in an hour. Love you. Void of what is he talking about? So he's really sorry, I take accountability. You guys did it, not me, and that created a void of silence. It created a perpetual motion machine of emotional difficulty that continues to struggle in ways that are transcendently transmuted. What are you talking about, dude? Those are just words. No, I'm serious. What is a void of silence? So, like, there's just – he walks in the locker room and then no one's – like, it's just silence. No one can speak. I want to speak, but I can't because the media did something wrong. What does he mean? Buy or sell? You can tell me what void of silence means in this context.
Sell.
It sounds like a really bad horror film. That takes place in space. They were going to Mars. What they found was a void of silence. What are we talking about? Of course, Tua's season's been a horror film that takes place in Miami, so, you know, a little overlap there. Sorry. Void of silence. Yeah, we're the ones that misconstrue things. How do we not interpret void of silence properly? My bad. That was so clear. I should have gotten that right. Or maybe you're a bad communicator, man.
It's always you notice, Bill, it's always the media's fault when someone says something that they regret. It's not their fault. It's the media's fault. Oh, I see you writing some down.
To a void of silence.
Nice.
Bum of the week, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice job, Tua. Also, nice job. How about this? The Toronto Blue Jays got off the mat.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
They go on the road, go to Seattle, and just completely trounce the Mariners 13-4, hit 5 home runs, all these extra base hits, 18 hits they had. Now down 2-1 in the series. Game 4 later tonight. Buy or sell, Blue Jays will even up the series in the ALCS.
Sell. Just because I don't want to be
sell.
The case. It's really hard to do a buy or sell in an individual baseball game, right? I don't. I hope not. I want the Mariners to win the series. It's cool that, you know, Blue Jays kind of made a thing of it. Buy or sell that the expression, got to save some runs for the rest of the series, is one that you're still mad at your dad for.
Sell.
Okay.
I say it myself. When it's like 12-2, we don't need to be still hitting bombs. Save some for tomorrow, fellas, all right? You can't hit the other parts of the series.
My coaches used to say the same thing. Save it for tomorrow. How? Should I strike out so I can hit a homer tomorrow? What about the void of silence that'll create? Tua told me that'll create a void of silence.
So it's going to create a void of hits, I guess, too.
Yeah.
You hit a home run here. Oh, there goes any chance of runs tomorrow.
Oh, we're screwed. Let's just forfeit tomorrow's game.
You said you hate buy or sell questions about individual baseball games. Well, let's double down. Because guess what we got tonight?
NLCS, let's go!
Game 3. Brewers trying to do what the Blue Jays did last night. Tyler Glasnow on the bump for the Dodgers. They look to go up 3-0 at home. Buy or sell? Brewers will do what the Blue Jays did and win Game 3.
I love these questions. Sell. They can't sell. Win. It's over. Bart? No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea. But Glasnow is a stud. And the thing is, and we talked about this yesterday, the Dodgers are on what has to be, for their starters, one of the greatest runs in the history of Major League Baseball. I mean, we're talking, let me find this. We are talking like an insane run of what? 30 starts, sub 1.5 earned run average, 200 plus strikeouts, 15-1, 0.81 whip, I think is what it is. I mean, gimme. That doesn't mean it'll continue, but they're in such a rhythm and that creates such confidence that I think the Brewers have their hands full. Although they have saved all the runs. So that's they got that. There's no void of silence there. They got that going for them.
17 innings by the Dodger starters in games 1 and 2. One run allowed. 17 strikeouts. A lot
four
of
hits. Is that right? Brewers have four hits in the series?
Four hits, which means they're due.
Does it,
a
though?
A lot of hits in those bats today, Bill.
Does it? A lot of hits in those bats.
Let's finish here. This tweet circulated around Twitter recently. I want to get your thoughts on it. The tweet said, if you are an adult male at an ice cream shop, you should not be allowed to try samples. Buy or sell. Adults should not be allowed to try samples before ordering ice cream.
Sell. That's a void of silence right there.
Sell.
That's what that is. That's dumb. I don't think you should be able to do 10 samples, but I will rock a sample. I mean, I take my kid to Pinkberry all the time. He loves that place. And every time I go in, I get a sample and don't buy any ice cream. Don't buy any frozen yogurt. Can I try the... yeah, thanks, man. Anything else? No, we're good. Just the one. No,
you're kidding. You have no guilt or no, like...
No. I'll get a medium original. And, all right, man, that'll be $82.31. Oh, you had toppings. That'll be $91.
A little sample is enough for you to be like, okay, this, you know, my craving is fixed.
No, I mean, it's free. I just want to try it. Let me try it.
Right, but they give you such a small, it's like you get a little taste. Don't you want a little more?
Well, I like the original. I'll just whatever weird, oh, we have mango chutney today. All right, let me try that. We have blueberry shortcake. Let's see what's going on with that.
What if it's actually good?
Then thank you for the sample.
I will not be buying it. And next time I come in, I will also not be buying it.
My wallet will continue with a void of silence here. But thank you for the taste. All right. Let's dive a little more into Tua Tagovailoa's apology after we get a sports flash from Chris Lopresti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Bill, it's sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Well, it took a few games, but the Blue Jays found their offense in a big way last night in Seattle. 5 home runs in all for the Jays as they roll past the Mariners 13-4 to get on the board in the ALCS, though Seattle still leads the series 2-1. Seattle skipper Dan Wilson on his team's ability to shake it off.
This is a team that has done this a lot this year in terms of bouncing back, being resilient. You know, we've used a lot of words for it, but tomorrow's going to be that opportunity again for us, and these guys know how to prepare and be ready for that.
Tomorrow becomes tonight, game 4, 8:33 Eastern. You've also got game 3 of the NLCS with the Dodgers up 2-0 on the Brewers as that series shifts to Los Angeles and first pitch shortly after 6 Eastern. Meantime, the Orioles reportedly interested in speaking with Albert Pujols about their managerial vacancy. He's already looked at as a prime candidate for the Angels job as well. NFL Week 7 opens tonight in Cincinnati. Joe Flacco and the 2-4 Bengals hosting Aaron Rodgers and the 4-1 Steelers. Rodgers just 116 passing yards shy of passing Ben Roethlisberger for 5th place on the league's all-time list. I'm Chris Lopresti.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you on this Thursday. Thank you for listening. This portion of the show is sponsored by the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Learn how it's so much more than just another SUV at HyundaiUSA.com. Thanks for listening. Phone number on the show is 888-710-4ISN. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Lexington. Chris, what's up, pal? Happy Thursday. You're on Ryder Than You.
Oh, Bill, man. Hey, buddy, it's been a crazy week. I've been wanting to call, but listen, first of all, congratulations on your anniversary. I hope you had a great time in
Thanks,
Paris.
Brother. We did.
You're welcome, man. My wife and I are about to celebrate 22 the beginning of next year. So,
all right. Let's go.
Exactly. There's so many reasons why I love your show, Bill, and one of them is when you present stuff, you make me think. And you know, for me calling your show as much as I do, me being a Pittsburgh guy, that Aaron Rodgers take that you opened the show with, I couldn't agree more. And I had not thought about the humble pie that he had to eat and probably didn't like after that Jets situation. But I tell you what, it has worked in spades because I even said to my wife, we were watching a week or so ago, man, he just looks like he's having fun. And I have not been able to see that from Aaron in a long time. Been a model teammate. And what you questioned, when I agreed with you way back, you know, from afar, one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. The dramatics, I was concerned about. We've seen none of that. And, Bill, I'm telling you, there is still something left in the tank. I'm not delusional. He's not the 4-time MVP, Aaron, but some of the mobility, Bill, that he still has, and that pinpoint accuracy and what he's doing with this offense, If we can keep him upright and this defense keeps playing, I'm not saying Super Bowl contender, Bill, but I'm saying I think we can win a playoff game, maybe two. And if you would have signed me up for that in the beginning of the year, I would have said, all right, I'll sign up for this experiment anytime.
Chris, I'm with you, bro. I think you're right. And that's a 180 for me. And keep him upright is a really key thing. We like to think that athletes, we like to think that we, right, whatever we do out there, we operate in a vacuum. Culture is real. I have been good at jobs or better at jobs that I've done when I've been surrounded by better people. And I've been worse at jobs when I've been surrounded by worse people. And I've had a wide range of those kinds of people professionally in my life over my 20 years doing this. And that applies to me. That applies to you. It applies to Ryan. That's why Ryan's thriving right now. And it, see what I did there? It's a little compliment to me, Ryan. And I thought I was celebrating you. I was celebrating me because I'm right. All right, moving on. And it applies to Aaron Rodgers. Is Aaron Rodgers responsible for being a hot mess with the Jets? Yes. Are the Jets responsible for allowing Aaron Rodgers to be the worst version of himself? Yes. It's both. It can be both. And so, yeah, you're that humble pie, you're right, Chris. It don't taste good. It's good for most of us. I'm trying to get Ryan some more. It's good for all of us. And it's been really good for Aaron Rodgers. And while I don't love the guy, I also don't root. I don't want to root against most human beings. There are a few. There are a couple guys' names that I'm thinking of, people I know personally, that I will root against. But I'm not even rooting against Chris Paul. Not maybe a little, but not a lot. I'm not rooting against Aaron Rodgers. I don't want most people to fail. The things that made Aaron Rodgers unlikable are the things that made him not effective and not worth the problem. And he's gone to a place where they're not going to put up with that. And by the way, they've got to continue to not put up with it. When the going gets tough, he's got to not revert back to form. That's another thing. If the Steelers lose two or three games in a row, they have a rough patch. How does Aaron Rodgers respond? How does Mike Tomlin respond to how Aaron Rodgers responds? I think Aaron Rodgers has now earned the benefit of the doubt because they're on the verge of being 5-1. It is a really impressive turnaround for Rodgers. And I know, Ryan Hickey, I know that you're not, like me, you're not a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. And he's not, I mean, he's not even 70% of what he was at the height of his powers. But would you agree that he is effective enough when combined with the Steelers' sort of approach to football that I do think they can be a Super Bowl contender? I don't know that they will be, but in a wide-open AFC where you remove the Ravens and you remove the Bengals from the equation, I would take the Chiefs over them. I would take the Bills over them, but I don't think it's out. If you can make a conference championship game, for me, that makes you a Super Bowl contender. I don't think it's outrageous that the Steelers could be in that mix. You look very skeptical.
I'm still not there yet. Look, we're 6 weeks in, so he's still, his body is right, holding up fine. We've yet to see any drama, you know, any turmoil. That's one way, yep. Like, there will be adversity. Usually, when adversity strikes, he blames others, throws them under the bus, and does not handle it well. How does he react here in Pittsburgh? Is his body able to hold up for 17 games, 18 weeks? I want to see more before I can say the Steelers are Super Bowl contenders.
I'll just say, I would argue, you're not allowed to say that the Colts are for real and not say the Steelers are for real. Like either being 5-1 and 4-1 is legitimate or it's not.
Well, I don't think the Colts are for real yet.
You don't.
I'm not. I would not call them a Super Bowl contender yet.
They're the top seed.
I know. Look, yes, and they're off to a great start. They're off to a great
Even
start.
Even Herm Edwards said top four offense.
They are. I am waiting for the other shoe to drop when it comes to Daniel Jones. Maybe it won't. Maybe it truly was the Giants.
I'm giving
you
a hard time. I don't buy the Colts at all. I was just trying to bait you. Trying to bait you there.
And I got you. You tried to bait me, and I baited you.
You did. Look at that. Look at what
you
just
got.
What a void. That's what my kids say. And I said to my kid, what a void of silence that became. What a void of silence. What is he talking about?
Is it the opposite of a cone of noise?
Yeah, but coin? Cone of noise.
It's usually a cone of silence. Maybe
right.
There's a cone of noise and the void of silence kind of.
Void of silence.
Something should make a song. And the void.
But if you're in a void, there's nothing silence. In there. So if you're, isn't it a double negative? Is a void of silence actually loud?
I'm glad you said that. I don't want to sound like an idiot, but I was thinking about that. I'm like, if there's a void of silence, does that mean that there's no silence, which means it's very loud?
Right.
Right? And everyone's talking.
Right. So because of the media misconstruing him for an apology he didn't actually end up giving, when he walks in, everyone's just, they can't hear the plays. I don't understand what he's even trying to communicate to me. And this is so disappointing because I thought he was going to push through and be a really successful NFL quarterback. I thought Mike McDaniel was going to be a really successful head coach of the National Football League. I thought going to get Tyreek Hill, which, by the way, didn't work but was the right decision, was going to have the same magical effect on that organization that Stephon Diggs absolutely had on the Bills. And they didn't need him in the end, but they needed that spark, right? They needed that sort of beginning for that organization when he came from Minnesota many, many years ago. I like teams that take gambles. I like teams that go for it. I like teams that say, okay, we've got a pretty good hand. We're going to try to improve it, and we're going to go for broke here. The thing about that is sometimes it doesn't work, and it has failed miserably. And Tua's lashing out or whatever it was to his teammates, and his non-apology and his void of silence and all of the – and Mike McDaniel looking like a deer in the headlights after being the coolest kid at school a year and a half ago. It's just – this is the other side of the coin when the gamble comes up the wrong way. Because it could have worked. There was a stretch where it felt like they were going to be, what, a second-tier AFC team? They're going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the AFC. Win their division, maybe not get the same sort of platitudes and flowers and spotlight and celebration, but be good, win playoff games, maybe not win the Super Bowl, but be a really competitive, impressive football team. That was way off the mark. All right, let me put you on the spot. You asked me. You asked me buy or sell last segment. Are the Brewers going to win tonight? Are the Brewers going to win tonight?
I think so, yes. They're too good to go down 0-3.
They're screwed. All right, thanks for listening. Thanks to Herm Edwards. Thanks to Chris LaPresse. Thanks to Ryan Hickey. I'm Bill Ryder. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow on Ryder Than You.